For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. Good morning, your Central Minnesota Farm Report. It's brought to you by Midsoda Manufacturing, Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service in Avon, right off I-94. Well, this week, coming to you from New Orleans and Commodity Classic, our coverage at Commodity Classic, also brought to you by Minnesota Farmers Union, Minnesota Corn Growers Association, and the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council. This week in New Orleans, there was an event which included four CEOs. When it comes to the sorghum industry, the Wheat Association, also the corn growers, and also the folks from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Some great insight on many different topics. We talked to Steve Senske. He is with the American Soybean Association, and he reflects on the current U.S.-China trade situation.
I think farmers want to see, and this is what we want to see from the American Soybean Association, is that we need to, even as the administration manages the very tough issues that we have with China, whether that's Hong Kong or Taiwan or the Uyghurs, intellectual property, we need to also make sure that we keep our exports flowing. We want to keep a commercial trading relationship going, even as we engage to try to address those other very large, massive geopolitical issues, because China needs our soybeans. We want to supply soybeans. They're the biggest soybean market in the world. They import more soybeans than the rest of the world combined. So if you take out China, you can't just go someplace else and export those soybeans, even though we are diversifying our markets, just that China is so huge, we want to keep that trading relationship going.
CEO of the National Wheat Growers Association, Chandler Gould. He also comments from a wheat perspective, trade and China.
So I want to, you know, echo a lot of the comments that Steve said on maintaining that important market in one of the largest economies in the world. But there's several other things that are going specific to wheat as it relates to trade with China. First, I want to go all the way back to the WTO case that wheat and U.S. wheat growers and rice growers won against China for their domestic support and also for not fulfilling the World Trade Organization fulfillment for how much wheat and rice they were to be buying from the United States. China is still out of compliance with that WTO ruling that they did not appeal. And then here just recently with the Russia-Ukraine conflict and invasion, which I'm sure we'll discuss a little later, they have lifted all of their restrictions on Russian wheat coming into China when they're still not even in compliance with the WTO case that we've won. We are very happy to see the progress that the last administration, the current administration, made on phase one, but we're still lacking about 20% of fulfilling that full agreement. So though it's a very important market to us, we still have a lot of outstanding issues that need to be solved with China.
Besides China, challenges facing the industry, and where can we see some growth when it comes to the corn sector? National Corn Growers Association CEO John Doggett.
Boy, you want to talk about markets. Look at what has happened to the markets. I mean, I don't care what the commodity is, whether it's gold or corn or wheat or oil. I mean, everything's exploded in the last few months. That's a lot to figure out. Where are we going to be with these markets? And is this just a series of blips, or is this going to be the way we're going to be moving forward? The biggest issue I hear from farmers, and I generally, when they start talking and I hear that, do you know how much I paid for? It's a good idea to hold the phone as far away from my ear as I can because I'm going to hear about fertilizer prices. And we are very concerned about the fertilizer market, about how fertilizer is imported in this country, and about the companies that produce and sell it. And we are working hard to address that. And I think that one of the things we're going to find out is our farmers are going to be real innovative about how to use less nitrogen.
And it's more than just grain. It's also equipment that has suffered in the supply chain issues we've had here in recent years. Kurt Blades with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers.
course, there are supply chain challenges, and you know, every one of us have experienced it, and obviously all of your members have experienced it as individuals. But what I also kind of want to rephrase your question just a little bit, because certainly we have supply chain challenges that were brought about because of the pandemic, but you actually have to go back a little bit further to the beginning of these supply chain challenges, which started with the, you know, kind of back to China with the retaliatory tariffs around steel. And closely related to that would be the transportation issues that were closely tied to that as well. So the supply chain challenges are very real. You hear about microchips, you hear about steel, you hear about containers being in the wrong position. Those are very real, and there's not a good solution for them. It's just when we're in a global market and something was shut down, it just takes a while to work our way through this. The one thing that I've been very, very proud in representing the Association of Equipment Manufacturers is that we recognize the importance of the seasonality of the markets that we serve. And so our members very early on in this disruption first of all, were recognized as an essential industry. So that helped to minimize some of the disruption by keeping the factories open here in the United States. But we're still in a global market, so some transportation issues along the way. But our manufacturers and their dealers have been prioritizing wear parts to make sure that we can meet those important planting and harvesting deadlines. So that's, for the most part, that has been able to have the crops, you know, go in or come out in an appropriate manner, and then, you know, asking everyone to be a little bit more patient when asking for delivery. Now, a positive outcome of this supply chain disruption, I think this is going to be with us for a while, is we're finding farmers planning ahead a whole lot more on their capital purchases than they ever had. And, you know, we always know that professional farmers don't buy a combine on a whim, but planning ahead for that purchase 1 year, 2 years, 3 years in advance, and working closely with their dealer and manufacturer to line up their capital equipment, that's a really good thing, because that's just good sound business. And I think that's going to be with us for a while. But what the quickest answer of the point of your question, when are we going to see the resolution? You know, I've been saying that it's just right around the corner for about 2 years now, and I'm not sure that I'm comfortable saying that anymore, because there's no real end in sight, because it's one thing after another that's leading to the supply chain disruptions.
Chandler Gould also added, it's more than equipment, especially as we approach spring, when it comes to getting inputs that farmers need.
This extends even beyond equipment issues, as I know a lot of my growers continue to talk to me about, but it's also crop protection tools and glyphosate and even the delivery of fertilizer if you can afford it. This is a compounded problem that goes through our entire production practice on the farm, from equipment to crop protection tools and so on. And then I know I don't represent specialty crops, but then you got labor and immigration and other issues out there that continue to add to our increased cost of production.
A final comment from John Doggett with NCGA. He talks about some of the main concerns of their corn growers.
A couple of us were talking the other night. Imagine what the nightmare would be if corn had a 3 in front of it instead of a 7, and you had these input costs where they're at. Boy, it'd be a whole different world today, but it's not comfortable. The solution to high corn prices is high corn prices. The solution to low corn prices is low corn prices. But this fertilizer thing, some of this really bears some investigation of what's really going on with some of this. We know that there are issues with supply chain, but let's not make it worse. And right now, when the world is going to need more corn because we don't know what's going to happen in Ukraine, when we need more wheat when we don't know what's going to happen in Ukraine, this unsettledness and this uncertainty around the major inputs like fertilizer and glyphosate, that's a huge, huge issue. And our growers, most of them are saying, we're good for this year, but boy, next year, it could be a whole different game. And just probably at the moment that the world's going to need us to maximize our production.
We'll have more details coming up this week from Commodity Classic here on Chasm Radio. In New Orleans this year for Commodity Classic 2022, and your Central Minnesota Farm Report brought to you once again this morning by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service in Avon.